Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast today. Man, we're still talking about grace. This is the fourth series we've done on our podcast I've done here on grace, understanding your key to victory. Listen, here's what we're talking about today. A life that's better than new. A life that's better than new. You know, we get into our lives and we make some dumb choices. We make some mistakes. Sometimes they're small. Sometimes they're big. But all of those mistakes cost us. They do cost us. But God has provided His grace. If you've not been listening to the other series on grace, you may not quite pick up on in your heart what I'm saying. There is a supernatural grace of God to implement His will in our lives. And let me tell you, your mistakes, your failures, your shortcomings, they are not going to make it possible for you to not have the will of God in your life. No, if you refuse to believe God loves you, then you won't be able to walk in His will. But let me tell you, your decisions, your poor decisions, your dumb decisions, your absolutely worthless decisions have not changed God's thoughts towards you. And so since He still thinks them, since He still wants them, there is a supernatural power to see them at work in your life. Let's start this off. Let me give you this scenario. The nation of Israel, we're going to take it back into the Old Testament. The nation of Israel, they were brought into the promised land, and man, they just did not obey. They didn't obey much in the desert. They misbehaved and rebelled in all kinds of ways. But now they're in the promised land, and they are still not doing right. They are rebelling against God. They have disobeyed God. Not like for a week they got a little off course. They have rebelled for decades. And I'm not talking about just ignored what God said. It's like, well, I know I should be, but this one little time won't matter. Listen, they have basically taken the command of God. They have flipped it around opposite, and it's like everything God said don't do, that is on their to-do list now. They are worshiping idols. They are building idols. They aren't bringing any sacrifices. They are even burning their own children in fire as a sacrifice to false gods, the gods of the nations that are all around them. And here's what happened. They rebelled. They worshiped idols. They got conquered. They got defeated. They were killed. They were taken out of their country, those that survived, brought into slavery in a new country. Some at this point, at this particular scenario, when I want to pick up on this scripture in Ezra chapter 9, some have been able to return, but most have not. They are in a country they don't know. They're in a land they don't know. They are slaves. They are not blessed. And the perfect will of God for them is outside of their reach. That's the scenario where I want to pick up today. Now, listen. I don't know where you think you may be, but if God can restore anything, if this Bible is an example, then He wants to restore you no matter what you've lost. Now listen to this. After all this rebellion, after all this total foolishness, God warned them through so many different prophets and so many different ways and so many different signs and so many different wonders and so much things that were written, and they would not heed it. Now listen to what God said about it. Ezra chapter 9, verse 8. This is what Ezra said. This is what Ezra wrote. He said here, "And now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg or a foothold in this holy place that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us revival in our bondage." Now listen to this. Ezra is saying, this is what's happening. Ezra is now, he used to be a slave, and him and some others, they are in Jerusalem. Some people returned to Jerusalem. That's a whole nother story. The very king that conquered them paid for them to rebuild their city. Now you talk about grace. Talk about grace. They are in this scenario, and here's what's happening. Ezra is saying, it is obvious that no matter what we did, God has left us the ability supernaturally to still grab hold of everything He ever promised and He ever wanted. He has left us a foothold in His perfect will. You see, the nation of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, that was part of God's promise to them. And God said, listen, I don't care how much they rebelled, and I don't care how far off the course they have gotten, I still gave them this city. And this is still part of my will, and I am still making a way for it to happen. No matter how far they went, God left them a place. It says that God may enlighten our eyes. So God is not saying, I'm just going to give you some. I want to connect with you in your heart. Change the way you see life and think and revive unto you my perfect will. How about that? Now, I don't know what you've done in your life. I don't know what kind of foolishness you have walked in. I have walked in a lot on my own. If you listen to my past podcasts, I talk about my foolishness. Go listen to the podcast I did on getting free and staying free. I get all into it. But I am telling you, when God establishes a thing like his perfect will for your life, you don't have enough power in you to overcome that will. You cannot destroy it. You can deny its place in your life and go live on your own. But what God has declared is yours is still yours. And in fact, not only will he give you that, but he will bless you on top of that. He will give you a life that's not just restored, not just repainted, not just have all the scratches and dents buffed out. He will make it better than new. He will lift you out of places you never knew you were in and set you on places you had no idea he wanted to give you. And your sin, your foolishness, and your wrong decisions, even your absolute in-your-face God rebellion, is not going to change his desire for you. He loves you, and from the moment time began, he wrote this down in his book, A Perfect Will for Your Life, and he has not changed his mind. And let me tell you, your disobedience is not strong enough to change his mind. Therefore, everything he ever wanted for you is still within your grasp right now. Doesn't matter where you're at. Doesn't matter where you're at in life. No matter how far you've got out, it's still within your grasp. Grace is custom built to restore, reclaim, renew, rebuild everything you destroyed through sin. I mean, think about this. We're living in the Garden of Eden. Mankind sinned. What did Jesus do? He sent Jesus, his only son. To do what? To undo everything you did through sin. Everything. Not only that, but he empowered you to take hold of it. He said, not only am I going to set you free, but if you'll just be willing to try, I will empower you to victory. I'll fight the battle and give you the victory for it. That's what he wants to do. Now listen, you're not going to be able to take hold of this concept if you don't think God loves you. The key to grace is God's love. If you really don't believe that God loves you enough to give you everything he promised you, then you're going to have to get into the Bible, start reading in like Ephesians chapter 1, that's where we started in grace, that God has loved you before you ever sinned. And until you meditate on those scriptures and get into your heart, grace won't come alive to you. And once you know God wants to do everything that he promised you, you can have faith to receive it. See, grace cannot move past your faith. Grace is a power ready to go. Faith is how you unlock it. But if your heart can't even get there, then you may not be able to connect quite with what I'm saying, but stay with it. It's going to begin to feed you. Listen, Matthew 18:26, with man, all things are impossible. Our things are impossible. But with God, everything is possible. What do you need? What did you destroy? What did you mess up? Was it your marriage? Your finances? Was it your family relationships? Are you in prison? What is it God can't deliver you from? What is it God can't do? Chad, I destroyed my soul with sin and all these memories haunt me. So what? God's got power over that. He could change that right now. Not only can he wants to. He wants to because he loves you. And that is grace. It's God's kindness towards you, accomplishing his will in you because he loves you. You are custom built for grace and the power of God undoing every sin that is ever accomplished and everything sin ever did in your life. That grace was custom built for you. Grace to restore, reclaim, renew, rebuild, and then take you even further. I don't care what you've done. You have not changed God's mind. You can't. You don't have the power to do that. Why? Because he made up his mind before you sin. Therefore, your sin does not change him. When God said, my love is unconditional, that means there's no conditions, no possibilities, no scenarios or circumstances that will change it. What he has always wanted for you, right now, as you're listening to this podcast, he still wants that for you, right now. And let me tell you, if you have it in your mind what God can do for you, you're already thinking small. The Bible says you can't even imagine the great things he wants to do for you. Your highest imagination is still so small compared to the truth of what he wants to do for you. I do not care, and it does not matter to God where you are now and how you got there. He will restore everything you lost, renew everything you ruined, and that's just the starting place. That's just zero. That's the first step, is to give you back everything. Everything. That's where you start. That's not even the rest of the journey, where he begins to build on it and give you more and do more supernaturally and miraculously than you ever knew. You're having a nation, this Israel, they have fought God on every front for decades. And I'm not talking about they just did a few wrong things. They were utterly in your face, God, rebellious to the point of murdering their own children. And he said, it does not matter. I promised them this promise, and I have left them a remnant to take over. I have left a door open, a road open, so that they can come back to this place. And the moment they decide they want it, I will do it for them. I will make it happen. I will use my own power to restore them. They're just going to be along for the ride. That's where God is. Israel had lost everything, their treasure, their land. They lost the ark. They lost the temple. They lost their whole nation. They lost their freedom. They lost their family. A lot of them lost their lives. They lost their inheritance. They lost their businesses. They lost their land, everything, over rebellion. And God said, I have left them an open door to everything I ever promised. And no time, at no time, and at no place can they escape how much I want to do for them. And the same is true for you. At no time and in no place, no matter where you are, can you escape. Over in the New Testament, the disciples asked Jesus a question. Hey, how many times should I forgive? 7 times in a day for the same offense? And Jesus replies, no, 7 times 70. I don't think he's like really trying to put a number on it. He's saying it doesn't matter. You forgive always. You think he's holding us to any standard he's not doing better? Absolutely not. It doesn't matter how many times you have promised God and broke your word. It doesn't matter how many times he's blessed you and you have walked away. He is ready to restore if you will believe in one thing, that he loves you enough to do it. That he loves you enough to do it. He is going to do it. Listen, with your own hand, your own ways, your own wrong living, you have lost, ruined, spoiled, cursed the very ground you wanted to live on. You've hurt many along the way. We all have done this. But grace, the grace of God, is not a limited power like the power of man. No, it's God's power. It's a greater power, and it's well beyond man's power. The grace of God is not like your strength. It's not like your know-how. The grace of God is not like the favor you have with people. No, it's well beyond that. It's greatly beyond that. His strength, his wisdom, his favor, his influence, his ability to open doors is well beyond yours. See, you may be trying to work out, how can I fix this situation? What words can I say? What can I do financially? How can I find the right job? How can I recover from this thing I've done? How can I restore this relationship? That's your know-how. That's your strength. That's your wisdom. That's your ability. And it may accomplish a few things, but it ain't like God's. Oh, no, 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 no. His is much greater. His is much greater. Where it'll take you a year to recover, he can give it to you in 3 days. A relationship that is so destroyed, you can't do anything to fix it, he can restore it in the next week. Places you have never been able to grab hold of because of things in your life and in your past that are holding you back, he can set you free right now. And you can begin to see clearly where you can't think straight in your mind. Control your mental processes. You have been unable to do that through addiction or through even some type of mental problem from disability. That's not stopping God's will. He still has a will. He can overcome every part of that. And even though you've been fighting it for 10 years and not making really any headway, God's strength can change it right now. You see, sin is what did that. Sin is what corrupted. Sin is what brought rebellion. Think about this. If sin did not exist in the world, what situation would you be in? Where would your life be right now? Where would your heart be? Where would your mind be? Where would your physical body be? Where would your finances be? All of that is still possible. All of that is still possible. And your sin is not going to affect it. Let me tell you something. God is not a slave to your sin. It's not controlling him. It's not changing his actions. It's not determining his love. He is not looking at sin and going, well, since sin exists, I guess there's nothing I can do. No, 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 he's not. He is well able. He wants to restore. He wants to. Grace is a kindness. God's grace, his power working. That's what we're talking about. A life that's better than new. Understanding your key to absolute victory. Grace is a kindness that knows no boundary but rejection. No hindrance except for pride. See, grace can do it. Grace can do it. What you have to do is have faith that God wants to do that for you. Grace is a characteristic of God, and therefore it's just like him. Powerful enough to have no boundary, kind enough to never go past free will. Your faith in God's grace is what unlocks it. Faith in God's love for you. Faith in grace towards you. Faith that no matter what we do, God will not change his beautiful, wonderful plan for your life. When you put faith in that, the power of God will move into your heart and you'll be able to walk it out. You'll be able to walk it out. Grace is yours because of righteousness, and every single person that's saved is righteous before God. That's what it says over in, well, it says over, it's the whole book of Romans, most of the book of Hebrews, that's what it says, but it says it right there in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1, right there in verse 4 to verse 7 and verse 8, in those areas, he's saying, from the beginning of time, before anything started, he had already chose you to be before him holy, to send Jesus Christ, to redeem, to restore, to forgive you of all your sins, to lift you up into his presence, before you had ever sinned. And grace can do that. Grace is a force that is stronger than any part of your current reality. Grace is stronger than anything you are currently in. Facing every circumstances, illegal trouble, marriage trouble, it doesn't matter. Grace is stronger than that. And for everything that is God's desire for you, there is a supernatural grace to accomplish it. That means anywhere that God has a desire for you, he also has a power to bring it to pass. If you're willing to trust God, he's willing to trust you and entrust you with everything he promised you. You can have it all turned around. Everything can turn around. Listen, everything can turn around. Say that. Say that with me right now. Everything can change. Say it again. Everything can change. Don't let that get out of your heart. Your life can change. Grace is not your expression to God. Listen to this. The power of grace, this is not you expressing yourself to God. It's His expression of love to you. So you can't change the power of grace. You can deny it, but you can't change it. It's not yours. Grace is what God sends to you from His heart. It's not what you send from you to His heart. Grace is God's. And grace is only sending, God is only sending it to one person, to you. It's not for the animals. It's not for the angels. It's not for the buildings. It's not for grass. It's just for you. That power is for you. And it's God's expression of love. So you can't change grace. You cannot change it. You can deny its right to be in your life. You can resist it, but you can't make it run. Grace is always ready the moment your heart is open. Over in Psalms 139, 13 through 18, it says this: You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me. Yet as yet there was none of them. So it says before there was ever any days, before everything happened, you had already written and fashioned everything for me. You wrote it down. He took time. He took effort to describe into a book His thoughts for you. Now listen, how precious also are your thoughts, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Verse 18, if I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You cannot even comprehend the great things God has planned for you. And sin is not stopping them. You said before you had even been born, He planned all this. Before you were even born, He didn't say, wait, let's see how things go. And then we'll just have to, flesh out whatever the plan is for His life as He goes along, as she goes along. No. Before you were born, you were intended to receive, to be the recipient of love so great it cannot be understood, comprehended, reasoned with. Massive love. Listen, you were intended for that. And nothing you can do can change God. What He has set in motion, what He has declared, no one can undeclare. No one can change it. But you can resist it. He made you the God of your own life. When you let Him in, when you begin to believe in the grace of God, then you can have a life that's better than new. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we've already talked about it. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. From before time, you were destined by God to be part of His life. And you can't change His mind, and you can't change His intentions. You can rebel, but you can't change it. Your blessed life, listen to this. Your blessed life, your best life, a highly prosperous life, an emotionally prosperous life, a mentally prosperous life, a physically prosperous life, it was God's idea before it was yours. He thought it up before you even existed. And it is still yours today. Romans 8, 32 and 33. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? If it's God's, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? If it is God who justifies. Since God has declared you before time as righteous, sent His Son to ensure that, who can even charge you with sin? You're so concerned about what you've done wrong. But according to God, you stand clean. And anyone who is standing in righteousness is well able to consume and use the promises of God. Your problem is not your sin. Your problem is your faith in your sin. You've got more faith in what the enemy brought into your life than what God had declared before there was even an enemy that existed. Listen, God's power is not like your power, and God's power is not like sin. It is well above that. And everything he promised you is still yours. Grace is the power of God to you, accomplishing his will for you because he loves you. You have got to stop thinking about how sin is controlling your life. You have been translated, delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into a marvelous light. Stop sulking about it. Stop whining about it. Stop thinking about how you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And you didn't do this right, and you rebelled again, and you knew you felt it in your heart, but you didn't follow it, and you said this, and you did that. Stop thinking about all that. You need to put your eyes and your mouth and your mind into the Word of God. You need to speak it out of your mouth. You need to read it, and you need to begin to look at it. And every time those thoughts that sin is going to control God's love for you, God's work in you, cast it out. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command those stupid thoughts to go. Don't accept that. Condemnation is always saying, this is what condemnation does. Condemnation says, because of what you've done, you have no right to the light. You have no right to the truth. You have no right to the power of God. Jesus did not come into this world to bring condemnation. That's John 3:17. We all like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but we forget about 17. It says, and Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but through the world, to give it life, to set it free from sin. You are set free from sin. Do not allow this to control your thoughts, because your thoughts are going to plant seeds in your heart, and your heart's going to determine the course of your life. No, God does not determine the course of your life, and nor does sin determine the course of your life. Your heart determines the course of your life. That's Proverbs chapter 4. With all diligence, guard your own heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. You need to begin to change the way your heart sees you. You are loved. And if you begin to say, God loves me, my sin's not controlling me, you might even feel in your heart some scratchiness. You might even feel down in your heart, oh, that's not true, that's not true. You know what that is? That's wrong seed, wrong fruit, wrong things in your heart speaking against the Word of God. Listen, don't follow your heart here. Don't do it until you've renewed it. Follow the Word of God. Get into Ephesians chapter 1. Go get into the book of Romans. Go see what all God has done for you. And the whole, not just Ephesians chapter, the whole book of Ephesians. Go read it. God loves you. Listen, I want to end with this. I want to give you a couple of real things you can do. Let God's power into your life to begin to change you. Here's how you're going to do that. Because you're probably struggling with your thinking. You're probably struggling with your actions. First of all, start confessing. Start speaking things out. Speak out that you're free. I'm free from this. I'm free from this sin. I am free from this disability in my mind that's controlling my thoughts. I'm free from these poor emotions. I did a lot of things wrong in the past. I'm free from that. Those things are gone. That old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going to walk in the newness of life. Philippians 2:13. Begin to quote that. God is all the while at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Listen, that is what changed my life, that scripture. Because I said, no matter what I feel, God, no matter what I think, and I'm certainly not going to count my actions because they're all over the map. I'm just doing all kinds of stuff foolishly, and I'm giving in the flesh, but you are working in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. This word is my life. I'm going to read it, and as I read it, it's going to change me, and I'm not going to judge whether you're working in me by my actions. I'm going to keep claiming this and see you work in my life. that it's not by power, it's not by might, but it is by your spirit. That's Zechariah 4:6. It's by your spirit. I'm not going to have to fight this victory out. I am simply going to claim and confess that it is changing, that your word is real, that your promises are real, and you are going to bring this battle. You are going to bring this battle to an end in the victory's mind. Start confessing. Two, start imagining. Start seeing yourself in a different place. Start claiming that your debts are paid off. Start seeing your debts paid. Start seeing your mind working differently. Start to see yourself respond in situations in a righteous manner. Let me tell you, that point, seeing myself in situations responding according to righteousness, that changed my life. That changed my life. I've had such a difficulty dealing with wrong impulses, giving into them. And I begin to see myself resisting things. I begin to see myself responding different. I begin to see myself saying different things, that when people were mean to me, kindness rose up out. I had to imagine it before I saw it in my life. Start using your imagination to think about and meditate on what you want, not where you've been, not where you are, and certainly not where you could be if sin has its way. Stop giving sin free reign in your imagination. Stop that. It's killing you. It's killing off life. Write down scriptures. Here we go. So we're talking about confession, imagination. Write down scriptures that speak about your situation. Listen, just the one, Philippians 2:13, God, you're all the while at work in me, both to will and do of your good pleasure. If that's where you start, start there. But you don't, and I don't mean you have to have a scripture that's saying this exact scenario you're in. Just get you 5, 6, 8 scriptures that are talking about the power of God. Read them, speak them out of your mouth, talk about them in your heart, pray over them, say, Holy Spirit, work these works in me. You're going to have to put the word in you in order to change things. Get scriptures written down on a note on your phone, on a piece of paper, whatever, and begin to speak them out, whether you feel like speaking them or not. Don't let your feelings run your relationship with God. That's pure foolishness. The last one is this. Fight off those wrong thoughts. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Praise God. Say, God, I just thank you. I just praise you. You're great and mighty. You're accomplishing all your promises in my life. They're all coming through true in Jesus' name. You're delivering me out of every circumstance. I'm going to walk in faith and not fear. I'm going to walk in love and not unkindness. I am a changed person. I'm not going to be changed. I'm changed right now by the power of God in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Begin to speak it and fight those wrong thoughts. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Your life can be better than new. It is available to you, and your sin has not changed God's will for your life. God is not a slave to your sin. And His power, His grace, can change every single part of your reality, your mind, emotions, finances, legal problems, marriage, family relationships. It can make it as if your past had never happened. You've got to have faith in it, and that faith is going to start with this. You are loved by God, and you can't change it. Listen, I hope that's all I have for the podcast. I hope it was a blessing to you. If it was a blessing, take it, send it to someone else. Let it be a blessing to them. I pray that you get a hold of this grace and let it change your life and make your life better than new. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you again.